I do so appreciate the song selections today, and I know that all the men work so diligently to provide a good service for us. They honor God by their work and by their diligence, and I'm so appreciative of that. Our worship services, they wouldn't be what they are without that great concern and work from the men. Those of us who have trusted in Christ Jesus have been given such an amazing gift. We have been given such a precious gift. And as Paul put it, we have been literally, we've arrived. We've come to a certain place spiritually. He said that in this scripture that was read in your hearing this morning in verse 16, he said, "Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained," and that word "attained" also it can be translated, "we've arrived." And he says that we can walk by the same rule because of that. And that's the goal today, is to learn some things about how to walk by the same rule, how to have that same mind. And this is possible. We're able to walk together and having the same faith. It's all possible. We can do that. We have accomplished that. How is it when you look out into the world that the majority of the religious world is so divided? They're so different. What people call the Christian world. And how terrible that must be to be able to travel the country and go from church to church to church and sit with people who don't do the same things you do back in your home church. Sometimes how confusing that may be. And the answer is really, really simple. The great gift is Jesus, His Word. He is that Word and that great guidance that comes to us through the Holy Spirit via the Word of God. And that's what allows us to be able to travel this country and go from church to church to church in the Lord's church. In every service, you're going to be able to recognize what's going on. You're going to be able to know that things are being done according to the Word of God. You're going to know that those people are walking together by the same rule. It's God's Word that reveals these things to us. That allows us, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, to have the mind of Christ through this precious word. And we have the prophetic word that is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path, Psalm 119, 105. And as Paul in verse 16 said, "Nevertheless, to the degree which we have already attained," we've already arrived, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. And that's what we want to talk about today a little bit in your hearing. We want to be able to learn some things that the Scriptures reveal to us about how we can attain this goal, how we can continue on and arrive one day in heaven. And so we want to examine these Scriptures that help us to be of the same mind. Scripture that helps us to walk together in the same spirit, in the same path. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. What did Peter say? "If anyone speaks, let him speak the oracles of God." Right? "If anyone ministers, let him minister" how? "With the ability which God supplies." When Peter talks about speaking the oracles of God, you know, we're talking about the words that are written down in this book. That's how we all walk together by the same rule. We speak the words of God as they're written. We studied this morning. Remember what those few little words don't change anything. You speak the words of God and speak only the words of God. Don't add to, don't take away, don't change a thing. And that's what we do. And that all things that we do then would glorify God, Peter says. And that's our goal, because to Him belongs all the glory, right? And so how do we glorify God? We walk by the same rule. We together do that. Jude chapter 3, Jude tells us that he wrote to us about our common salvation. He was diligent to write to us about our common salvation, but he found it necessary to exhort us to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. And let me tell you something about being delivered. Faith is not something that's ambiguous. In the world of Christianity out there, you go out and you ask somebody, who is God? What is God? And they say, well, I think God is in the trees and in the mountains, and you can go by the rivers and sit on a rock and you're with God. You talk to another person and they say, well, God is in each one of us. We're all God. You talk to another person and they tell you something different. The idea of faith is whatever you make it. It's ambiguous. It's not clear. It's not concise. But Jude says, contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered. You can't deliver ambiguity. You can't deliver that. What you can deliver is God's word. That's how we walk by the same rule. That's how we all have that same mind. It's an amazing gift. And this was once for all delivered to the saints. In John chapter 5 and in verse 39, he said, you search the scriptures. This is Jesus. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And then he says, these are they which testify of me. This word of God tells us about Jesus, how in the beginning it was prophesied that Jesus would crush Satan's head, and how the Messiah would come one day and walk on the earth, and our King would be with us. That King would die upon a cross. The scriptures tell us about Jesus. It's not a fantasy. It's not something that we make up, as many people do. This describes him accurately, and this testifies of Jesus to the point where we just can't go wrong if we just trust it. John chapter 6, verse 44 and 45. Jesus said, no one comes to me, what? Except the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. Now, how do we get drawn to Jesus? He tells us in that text. He says it is written in the prophets that, and they shall all be taught of God. How were they taught of God? The prophets would quote God. They spoke the oracles of God. They contended earnestly for that faith. That's what they did. And they knew that in the scriptures they would find salvation. And they knew that they had to obey God to do it. And they were taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard what? Heard the words of God. Everyone who has heard the words of God and learned from the Father comes to Jesus. How do we walk by the same rule? The words of God. It just keeps coming back over and over and over again. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. We're familiar with that. Jesus said, not everyone who comes and says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. How do we know the will? How do we know God's will? How is it possible? How can we ever get to the Father in heaven? There's so many people in the world who say, Lord, Lord, but they have no clue what the will of God is. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, Jesus is saying this to his disciples. And then in retrospect, he's saying that to us. Assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God, present with power. See, back then, they were going to see Jesus, a risen Savior. They were going to see Jesus glorified. And some of those people did. Now, for us, the hope is that there's the hope is that he'll come soon and we'll see him before we pass from this life. But regardless, we're going to see Jesus glorified. We're going to see him as he truly is. And we're going to become like him. And he's going to give us new clothing, a new house. And we're going to be taken up into heaven. And the Bible teaches us that. You know, in the book of Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. You think, when Jesus said these things, he said, "You shall receive power," talking to those disciples. "You shall receive power of the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem." Did that happen? Well, you know it did. From Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to all the ends of the earth, their witness has. We're reading it today, right now. Acts chapter 2, verse 36, 38. Remember Peter? He's standing up in front of the Jews who crucified the Lord. And he says, "Therefore, to the house of Israel, know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." That was the day that they saw the power of the Lord. Right there in Jerusalem. And what happened? When they heard it, they were cut to the heart. When they heard what? They heard Peter preaching the oracles of God. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? What must we do?" And Peter, what did he do? He spoke the oracles of God. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And they did. They heard. Why did they obey? Because they heard and they learned what God wanted them to do, because Peter spoke the oracles of God. And 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel that day. And they were added to the body of Christ, to the church. The Holy Bible, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, tells us about this process. When Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And he says, "Certainly not. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer in it?" We who have died to sin don't live in it, because we're now walking by the same rule. We're walking by the Spirit of God. We're walking by the words that are written. He said, Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him in baptism, that into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should walk in newness of life. That newness of life comes from the oracles of God. That baptism is when you're dead and buried, immersed in the water, and you are in the presence of three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us, "Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." The oracles of God tell us when you're baptized, immersed in that water, you're in the presence of God, the Holy Ghost, and Jesus Christ. And guess what? Jesus' blood is there with you. And that's why Peter was able to say, "And his blood will cleanse you of all unrighteousness." When we believe that, we're walking by the same rules together. When we believe all these things. But that's not going to happen if we trust in something other than the Scriptures. For example, in Matthew, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 17, "He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me." What is this telling us? It's telling us that we're not inheriting our faith. We don't earn or inherit our faith from our parents. And we shouldn't seek faith from anybody other than Jesus. We shouldn't seek faith from anything other than the oracles of God. And we should contend for those things. And we should recognize them as the power of God unto salvation. That's what the Holy Bible does for us. It allows us to walk by the same rule together. Be of one mind. And if we listen to people other than, if we love somebody greater than Jesus, we're never going to be able to walk by the same rule. Another thing is, you think of Pope, that word. Well, okay, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 5, there is one God, one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. So we walk by the same rule means that we look to Jesus. And we don't look to any other man on earth as an authoritative figure in the church. It doesn't matter what church it is or what title it's given. It's just Jesus. How do we walk by the same rule? Jesus. How do we have the same mind? Jesus. The Word of God. And fraternal orders, when you think about that, orders of men, commandments of men, in Colossians 3 and 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we do everything according to the Word of God. The all authority belongs to Jesus. So that's how we walk by the same rule. And when you think of human reasoning, that's another area of concern. We walk by faith, not by sight. So what is faith? Faith is turning away from things that we see to the things that are written. Faith is saying that it doesn't matter what anybody says, including your preacher here, as long as it's aligning itself with God, it doesn't matter, because if they don't, we don't walk by sight. Faith is the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's how we protect ourselves. That's how we walk by the same rule. You know, some scriptures define the Word of God, how it is and how it works, how it we can join together with it and how we can be profited by that Word and keep walking by the same rule. As we think of this, we begin with 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, right? That all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Every single word from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, the last words, the Alpha, everything is the Word of God. We can't change one word, one jot, one tittle. We can't add to, we can't take away. And what is this? This scripture that is breathed out by God, it's the oracles of God. It's good for doctrine. It's good for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be complete. So we can be complete in Him. Complete means finished. Spiritually, when you're baptized, you come out of that water, you're a Christian. You've been washed by the blood. And that not only complete, but we've been given something wonderful. We're thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what this Bible, that's what this does. Completes us, finishes us, makes us have all the equipment that we need. You know, my son Jim had a problem with his electric at his house. For some reason, when he took a shower, he got shocked. I don't know. So we called an electrician because I couldn't figure it out. And the electrician went in and he didn't have any tool belt. He didn't have a toolbox. And I went and brought all my stuff out of the car. And I'm down in the basement and he's looking at stuff. And I said, "You need some tools? I got some tools." He says, "No, I got what I need." And I'm, "What do you got?" When he needed something, he reached in his one pocket and he pulls out and he tests some wires, puts it back. And then he wanted to take something apart and I said, "I got pliers here and screwdrivers." He said, "I got what I need." And he reaches in the other pocket. He had all the tools that he needed right there. Not only in his pockets, but in his head. He didn't have to look anything up like I do. He just figures it out. He knows it's all up here. God has given us instructions for righteousness that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped. He's given us all the tools we need. Where's the tool? Right here. That enables us to walk by the same rule. It enables us to have the same mind. In Acts chapter 17 and 11 and 12, there's four steps. Four steps. Think about that. The steps of the Berean. Look at that chapter 17, 11, and 12, and think about these. It says that these Bereans were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. They were fair-minded. That means they were willing to listen. You know, somebody that's not fair-minded, they don't want to hear what you have to say about God. Boy, we run into a lot of those people, and they'll never be able to walk by the same rule. But a fair-minded person is going to say, all right, what's it say? The second thing that they're going to do is they're going to go ahead and receive that word with all readiness. They're going to allow the word of God to come into them, and they're going to work on that word. And the third step is they're going to search. They're going to search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so, the things that Paul in this context was teaching them. The fourth step is very important. It says, therefore, many of them believed, right? The fourth step is that they believed. And what happened? They obeyed the gospel. You see, it's so important to have these four steps, to have a fair mind, to be receive the word with all readiness, to search out and make sure that it's right, and then to believe it. When we do those things, we can walk by the same rule. John chapter 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth, the truth shall make you free, Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The word of God came down from heaven. The word teaches us the truth. Right? John 17, 17, sanctify them by your truth. Thy word is truth. That's what we're dealing with. When we want to walk by the same rule, we need the truth. Because that's what makes us free. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus tells Peter, who had professed that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, that on that rock of your confession, Peter, I'm going to build my church. The church was established on that confession. It was established on the truth. It was established on Jesus. And he says, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And so we listen about the Word of God and we understand that it's breathed out by God. This wonderful and amazing Word. And also, think about Acts chapter 2 and how Jesus helps people to understand the Scriptures. That's why He came into the world, to open up the eyes of the blind. To open up their understanding, it tells us. And he said to them, it is written that it is necessary for the Christ, that's him, to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. They didn't understand that, but he made it clear to them. And that there had to be a repentance and remission of sin. That his name had to be preached from Jerusalem, all the nations. You see, that's how the Word of God comes to us. They were witness of all these things, and the promises of the Father was upon them. They had to stay in Jerusalem to do what? They would be endued with power from on high. That's what Jesus told them. And that's exactly what happened when you read Acts chapter 2. Because you bet that power came. Whatever God has said will not fail. Not one word will fall to the ground. It will always come to pass. Joshua chapter 23 verse 15. It's the Word of God. From the beginning to the end, it's the Word of God. From the beginning to the end, it allows us to all walk together by the same rule. Not one word will fail. So when the day of Pentecost fully came, they were all in one place with one accord because Jesus told them to be there. And they obeyed him. They received that word. They were fair-minded. They took it into their heart and they obeyed it. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, and this wind and this the whole house was filled, and wherever they were sitting, that the tongues as of like fire came down and sat upon each one of those disciples. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus said. You see, that's the power of God's word. If we believe God's word, Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he who does not believe shall be condemned. You believe God's word? You see, there's the decision process. You've heard it. I hope you've been fair-minded about it, and I hope you've received it, and I hope you've thought about it, and I hope you'll believe it. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature, and all things have passed away. And guess what? Behold, all things have become new. That's the idea of believing and being baptized. Your sins are washed away. You're immersed in that water. The blood of Jesus comes in contact with you. And again, you become new. And what does all this mean in relationship to the theme of the lesson, let us walk by the same rule? Well, our walking by the same rule, what it means is that the religion of feelings does not apply. Proverbs 28, verse 26, Solomon said, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Religious feelings, the religion of feelings. Well, I feel this and I feel that, and the presence of God came upon me last night, and I knew I was saved because I knew how I feel, how I felt. Feelings can make us to be fools. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered, Solomon said. Walking wisely, walking by the same rule. To that particular account, Jesus said that human creeds have no place in religion. Remember chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, when Jesus said, the people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain they do worship me. How do they do that? They teach the doctrines of men as though they were the commandments of God. That's vain worship. That's what human creeds do. You know, no human creed, that is, words written by men, regardless of their good intention, but they try to interpret Scripture with these creeds. And I want you to think, there was an article that I read years ago and I kept a copy of it. This was August 25th, 2015. And this article is under the category of sound doctrine. And there was a quote from a fellow named Roger Nichols. And he was a Swiss Reformed Baptist theologian. And this is what he said. He said, creeds distill, crystallize, and synthesize the teaching of Scripture. Therefore, creeds summarize the content of Scripture in a concise way that is faithful to Scripture and faithful to the church. Creeds do not possess an authority over our interpretation of Scripture, but instead a result of our interpretation. You see that last line? Creeds do not possess an authority over our interpretation of Scripture, but are instead a result of our interpretation. They use that phrase up there about the church. Well, let me tell you what the church says. The church says that no Scripture is of any private interpretation. The church says all Scripture comes from the very breath of God. And the Scripture says that everything that pertains in the life and godliness is right there in the Scripture. That's what helps us walk by the same rule. We can tell people what we believe. And we can even paraphrase the Scripture from here, but if we're teaching, we got to speak the oracles of God. We want to walk by the same rule. We have to speak the oracles of God. What else? We don't trust anything that's not the inspired word, which means we don't trust our conscience. You know, Paul trusted in his conscience, didn't he? In Acts chapter 23 and in verse 1, and looking earnestly at that council, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience, he said, before God until this day. He trusted his conscience. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 16, the apostle Paul said that I myself had always strived to be have a conscience without offense to God and men. What did Paul do? In Acts 26, if you look at that 9 through 11, I'll tell you what he did. He did many things contrary to Jesus because of his conscience. He took the saints and he shut them up in prison because of his conscience. And they were put to death, some of them, because of his conscience. He cast his vote against them, like Stephen, because of his conscience. And he punished them in every synagogue because of his conscience. He compelled them to blaspheme God because of his conscience. And he was enraged against them. And he persecuted them even to foreign cities because of his conscience. But when we think about that, now Paul, he saw the resurrected Christ and he realized something. He realized that the world is full of sin. Romans 6:23, right? He learned that Jesus was resurrected. He learned that Jesus was the truth. He began to walk with Jesus Christ. And he walked with the other apostles. They walked by the same rule. That worldly sins, the sins, they get us nowhere. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We walk by the rule of God. We have eternal life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, what did he say? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? He said, don't be deceived. And he goes on to list all the fornication, the adulterers, the homosexuals, sodomites, and thieves, and so on. He says, don't be deceived. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. So living in a worldly way, in a way of sin, will never get you into the kingdom of God. Walking by the same rule does. And Paul in verse 11 there says, and were such some of you, and such were some of you. He said, but you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. What is the bottom line? The bottom line is that we need to speak the oracles of God, which are the words of God, breathed out by God. And we need to ignore the teaching, even of family, of rulers in churches, fraternal orders, of things that are made up by the mouths of men and human reasoning. We need to put away religious feelings. Don't allow them to be your guide. Don't have human creed books. In other words, to the writing of books, there is no end. Don't let your conscience be your guide. And don't let sin be the rule in your life. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, if you desire to come after me, anyone who desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. By taking on Christ, by picking up the cross, being a participant in the fellowship with Jesus Christ, being a part of the work of his church on the earth, when we're following Jesus, who is the way, it leads us to the Father in heaven. That's what Jesus said back in John chapter 6. We're drawn to him by that way. You know, you're going to put on Christ, first trust God. Just trust him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, the Proverbs writer says. Right? But in every way acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. It's not our parents. It's not the Pope. It's not what men have deemed. It's not human reasoning. It's not religious feelings. It's not human creed. It's not conscience. It's not being guided by the way of this world. You're just going to follow Jesus Christ, period. Revelation 2:10, right? And as we follow Jesus, as we're on that path, we may suffer tribulation, hardships, but if we remain faithful until death, as it says in the latter half of that text, we will receive the crown of life. Why? Because we walked by the same rule. We have that mind of Christ. We have the Word of God. And we do this happily, forsaking all the worldliness and all the things, all our sin, and knowing exactly what happens if we don't. Luke chapter 14, 33, likewise, whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. My friends, listen, I am not deceived. I know for a fact that not everybody in the church is described by this. Not everybody is fully walking in the way of Christ. Not everybody is having the exact same mind and walking exactly by the same rule. And it saddens me more often than I care to talk about. But on the other hand, don't you allow yourself to be fooled. Don't allow yourselves to be deceived into thinking that you'll be counted worthy on the day of the Lord, into thinking that you'll be counted faithful on the day of the Lord, on the day of judgment. If you don't walk in the light, in the truth of His Word, if you don't walk by the same rule. And so here's another brick. Be like a Berean. Allow the Word to come in. Receive it with all readiness. Look it up. Make sure it's right and then believe it. And then obey it. And that's how we learn to walk by the same rule. In our lesson, Bible study lesson this morning, if you look at Jeremiah, we're looking at Jeremiah chapter 20. Or chapter 3 and verse 12. Remember, we looked at Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, talked about a broken cistern. But in Jeremiah chapter 3 and in verse 12, he writes, "Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, backsliding Israel, says the Lord. I will not cause my anger to fall on you, for I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not remain angry forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity." We're here today as Christians and maybe some that are not Christians. And one of the ways to safety, one of the ways to begin walking with Christ, to walk with the same rule, to have the same mind, is to accept the fact that we have iniquity in our lives. If we're Christians, then we need to repent, as God is saying here to Israel and to Judah, to Israel rather. And he says, "I will not remain angry forever." Again, in verse 13, the second line, that you have transgressed, acknowledge your iniquities, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God and have scattered your charms to alien deities under every green tree, that you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Now look at verse 14, return. So if you're a Christian and you've disobeyed God, if you've fallen into it, return, says the Lord. For I am married to you. I will take you from one city to from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Verse 15, I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with the knowledge and understanding. In John chapter 10 and verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep know my voice, and I am known by them. Will you hear Jesus today? Have you heard the importance of walking by the same rule? If you've not obeyed the gospel, Jesus has extended an invitation. Come and believe and be baptized this day. Do you have a need? If so, we invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.